go ahead and open up to Jeremiah chapter 27. It was kind of, actually, I was thumbing through scriptures what I was doing, kind of flipping through a few pages here and there, and things begin to kind of jump out at me, if you will. And I just want to share a little bit about this with you, because it is a message for us today. And if you remember, here quite a while back, we had a prophecy that, you know, God was going to start showing more and more out of the Old Testament relative to us here in the New, living in the New Testament, if you will. And what's happened in Jeremiah chapter 27, Jeremiah has been prophesying. Now, I didn't do a timeline to figure out how many years he'd been prophesying by the time we get to chapter 27. But he's prophesying, and in chapter 27, verse 2, it says, "Thus saith the Lord to me, make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck." And we won't go too much further beyond that here just at the moment. But what God was doing was telling Jeremiah to put bonds and yoke around his neck. And then he was to prophesy that Israel, the Jews, were to submit to Nebuchadnezzar as he invaded, and basically they would become Babylonian captives. First off, I want you to think about that. If somebody were to come along and prophesy such a thing, would that make you happy if you heard it? Would you want to believe it? We're the children of God. Hallelujah. Well, the reason that this happened, and they ended up into Babylonian captivity, but the reason that this happened was because of their sin. Now, their major sin was not what they did, but it's what they rejected. And what they rejected was God's Word. And it goes all the way back to Moses, the law, the Ten Commandments and so forth. So, you know, for centuries, they have the law, they have God's instructions, but they just start living any old way they want, and yet they still claim to be God's children. They still point to the law. They point to Abraham. You know, we're the seed of Abraham. And you see how they did and when you read in the four Gospels in the New Testament. Well, God gives Jeremiah this instruction. He says, put this yoke on and prophesy that you, the people of Israel, the Jews, are supposed to submit to this. And he basically goes on to say that if you will submit to this, it'll be easier for you. But if you rebel against it, if you fight against Nebuchadnezzar and resist this, then it will be hard for you. Now, pick it up in verse 14. Well, in fact, look at verse 13. Why will ye die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord hath spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, and that ye might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you. Also I spake to the priests and to all the people, all this people, saying, thus saith the Lord, hearken not to the words of your prophets that prophesy unto you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. Hearken not unto them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Wherefore should this city be laid waste? But if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and at Jerusalem go not to Babylon. And then he goes on and speaks more about you know, what's going to happen and so on and so forth. But the bottom line is, he's prophesying, look, and I'll put this in my own words. You guys have been in sin for so long, and God has warned you over and over again, and you haven't listened. Prophets have risen up and spoken to you to obey the word of the Lord, and you've rejected it. So now here's what's going to happen. Nebuchadnezzar is going to invade. He's going to take you captive. And if you resist, it's going to be rough for you. So why die? Just submit to this. This is what God is telling you to do. And by the way, if prophets come along and tell you this is not going to happen, don't listen to them. They're lying to you. God didn't send them. Now, what would be the natural reaction to such a thing? This guy's nuts. This guy's crazy. He's just trying to build his own ministry by telling us, listen now, by telling us not to listen to the other preachers. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. We've had the other prophets with us all these years. They're great guys. I know them. They got a big following. Everybody buys their tapes and books, or CDs and books. You're capturing this image. And Jeremiah says, don't do it. Don't do it. Well, pick this up in chapter 28. And it came to pass in the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azor, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me, now look at this, in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests, and of all the people. Now what's the setting? We have Jeremiah, we have Hananiah. We are in the church with the church leadership and the whole congregation. All right? And Hananiah begins to speak. Verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years I will bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Now what do you think the people are doing about this time? Hallelujah! Glory to God! Pass the offering plate for this man. He hears from the Lord. You know the people are rejoicing. You know the people are happy. Well, verse 5. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. The Lord do so. In other words, he's saying, I hope this is right. In other words, this would be a good thing if the Lord did this. Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the house, the Lord's house, and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. And Hananiah, right about him, he's thinking, hallelujah. Even Jeremiah recognizes I'm right. But Jeremiah doesn't stop there. Look at the next word. Nevertheless. Let me tell you something. Anytime somebody looks at you and says, nevertheless, something good is not coming. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms, of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. In other words, Jeremiah is saying, all right. I mean, it's really neat the way he's handling this. He's refuting Hananiah without standing up to him face to face and saying, false prophet. He's saying, you know what? Other people have come before you and me and prophesied the same thing, and it never changed anything. That's what he's saying. He's saying, however, the test will be whatever comes to pass. And Hananiah, yeah, it'll be a nice thing if what you say comes to pass. But others have come before you And they said similar things when God gave warnings, and their words never changed what God did. Well, remember the yoke that Jeremiah was wearing? Then, verse 10, Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Now, the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Who do you think hung around? Hananiah, the church staff, and all the people. Why did Jeremiah go away? Because he realized the Lord has spoken. These people aren't receiving a thing from God. The deal is done. All hell is going to break loose. Because they're listening to somebody who doesn't have a clue, but who knows how to put on the theatrical performance. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. And you know, as he's walking out the door, the people are, Jeremiah, he thought he was a prophet. But Hananiah, I mean, he's the real deal. Did you see what he did to that yoke? Jeremiah said the yoke was of God. If the yoke had really been of God, Hananiah probably wouldn't have broken it. I mean, and on, this kind of stuff. Well, let's just see what happens. Verse 12, after Jeremiah has gone his way, then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. In other words, the wood represented, yeah, you were going to be in bondage, but it wasn't going to be that bad. And now that you've prophesied a lie and misled the people, it's going to turn into bondage of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And they shall serve him, and I have given him the beast of the field also. Then the prophet Jeremiah said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth this year, thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. Well, I'm sure Hananiah is thinking, this guy is really nuts. He's crazy. Now, do you think that Hananiah walked away shaking from that encounter? And after the grand reception he would have received from the priests and the people of his prophecy, his yoke-breaking prophecy, man, those people would have spread the word. Hananiah, the prophet, has said, we're going to be free. Things are going to turn around. Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, destroyed, blah, blah, hallelujah, it's coming, it's coming. Relief is coming. Then Hananiah, you're not going to believe what Jeremiah has done now. You're not going to believe what he said to me. You know how people talk. You know how they are. He came up to me and said that it's going to be a yoke of iron and all this other stuff. Then he says that the Lord's going to kill me. I mean, can you believe this guy? No, I'll tell you what, Hananiah, I'm glad we had you in our church. I'm never going to have that Jeremiah fellow back again. By the way, what are you doing next week? Hold us another camp meeting. Hallelujah. I always get a lot of people when you show up, and the offerings right through the ceiling, glory to God. So what happened? Verse 17. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. Oops. Now let me ask you a question. After something like this happens, don't you think somebody somewhere would pay a little bit more attention to Jeremiah? Don't you think that When word gets out about what has happened, somebody might do the math. Let's see. Jeremiah has been prophesying for a while, and Hananiah too. Jeremiah prophesied this, bondage. Hananiah prophesies broken yoke and freedom. Hananiah is dead. Jeremiah is alive and still prophesying. Wonder who's right. Don't you think that they would have listened? Well, you can go home tonight and start reading in chapter 28 and just keep reading for the rest of Jeremiah. You know what you're going to find out? They didn't listen. Now, some people, but generally speaking, they did not listen to him. Not only did they not listen to him, but they to use a legal term, they brought charges and accusations against him. They put him in prison. They accused him of lying. I mean, on and on it goes. And the thing is, the situation started getting worse for the nation. And what's amazing, if you go through and you read the rest of this from chapter 28 on, you'll find that in a couple of places, King Zedekiah actually went to Jeremiah to get counsel, but the way he did it was in secret. And he actually told Jeremiah, don't let anybody know that we've had this discussion. Why? He says, because I'm afraid of the people. Well, why was he afraid of the people? Because the people didn't believe Jeremiah. And even when Zedekiah got the counsel, I mean, he actually, read it, you can read later on, he actually goes to Jeremiah and says, is the Lord saying anything? Well, that's a smart move on Zedekiah's part. And then Jeremiah says, well, since you've asked, blah, blah, etc. You know, yeah, here's what's going on. But Zedekiah never 100% fully acted upon the words that the Lord gave through Jeremiah. And it ended up with Zedekiah's sons being executed right before him. And then after his sons were executed, Nebuchadnezzar cut Zedekiah's eyes out of his head. It's right in there. Now, what do you think might have happened if they had listened to what Jeremiah said way back when? Zedekiah might have kept his eyes and his sons might have kept their lives. Because Jeremiah prophesied, if you'll submit to this, it'll be easier on you. But if you don't, it'll be bad. And then Hananiah, you want to talk about being held accountable. God said, well, look what he said. We're in 28:16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. Now, Hananiah thought he was teaching something good. I mean, Hananiah thought he got a word from God. He wouldn't have said that just to be lying to the people, but it was a lie. It was one of two things. He was hearing his own imagination or he was being deceived by devils. Either way, the result was the same. It was a lie. And that prophecy was actually teaching rebellion to the people. The people would not have believed it was rebellion. What did Hananiah prophesy? It's not going to be as bad as what Jeremiah says. And things are going to be better. You just wait and see. Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, they're going to fall. Well, that didn't happen. But from God's perspective, Hananiah was teaching the people rebellion. Now, why would you think that would be called rebellion? I mean, isn't it kind of an odd thing? Because Hananiah didn't tell the people to like sacrifice to idols or anything like that. He said, thus saith the Lord. But how would God interpret that to be rebellion? It's because as a result of what Hananiah said, the people's hearts were turned from God's word to man's word. And they embraced man's word to be the doctrine by which they lived, as opposed to embracing God's word and just saying, well, you know what? Yeah, we've goofed. We've messed up generation after generation. So we better do what God says and just, you know, take our medicine, as they say. They didn't do that. But they went into bondage anyway. Because God warned them. He said, this is going to happen. Now, this is an example for us today. Folks, you need to understand. There's a bunch of preachers out there that are saying, thus saith the Lord, and it never came from God. He never said it. You've got people in the apostle circles. This is going on. You've got people in the prophet groups. This is going on. You've got people in the charismatic churches. This is going on. You've got people in the Word and Faith movement. This is going on. It's going on all over the place. There are Hananiahs all throughout the body of Christ who are saying, thus saith the Lord, and it sounds good. It sounds like something God would do. But God says, this is a lie. It's not going to happen. Instead, what's going to happen is what I'm saying through those who know how to hear me. And I've heard prophecies before, and here's part of the problem. When a lot of these people... See, let me back up. The problem's kind of twofold. In the Old Testament, many times these prophets would stand up and they would deliver a message from the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, if you don't get your act together, here's what's going to happen. And many times, the judgment, if you want to call it, it was maybe 20, 30, 40, 60 years later before the judgment came. So God was giving them, you know, decades to repent and make it right. Well, because there was what you could call delayed judgment, in God's mind it's not delayed. But as we measure time, it didn't happen. Well, you know, he prophesied it ain't happened. It's been 10 years. It's been 20 years. It never happened. But it eventually happened. And we've got a scriptural record of it. It happened. You know, God spoke through Noah. Flood! 100 years later, flood. How many people got on that boat? I mean, you had a whole population here on earth. You had all of Noah's, at that time, living relatives. Aunts, uncles, cousins. Nobody got on that boat but Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives. That was it. Nobody else. No one. No, nobody even cared. Listen to this. Nobody even cared enough about their children to want to find out if God was telling the truth. And their kids died. Every human being. And back then, it's no telling how many billions may... Because when you talk about people living to be 500, 600, 800 years old, who knows how many billions may have been alive back then at that time. I mean, I don't know. But they all died, but Noah and his family. All of them. Because after 100 years, nobody wanted to receive what he was preaching. And the Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. Well, here, I mean, this pattern, and this is what God was showing me, this pattern is all throughout the Old Testament. The prophets speak, the people hear, the people reject, and they pay the price later on. Over and over and over. And today, you have Hananiahs all over the place. You've got prosperity Hananiahs that have been preaching and teaching for 35 years. 35 years about all these blessings and all this stuff. And yet, nearly all, and I know I can say this, nearly all of the Christians who have bought into and applied the give and get, sow and reap principle for financial and material increase, they have yet to see the increase. It's never happened in their lives. Yes, but Brother Martin, God gave me a new job 3 weeks after I sowed that seed. Now, wait a minute. What did they promise you with that seed? They promised me 30, 60, 100-fold increase. Do the math. Did you get the 30, 60, 100-fold increase? No, but I did get a new job. How much of an income does that new job represent? Does it represent a 30, 60, 100-fold increase over what you were making before? Well, Brother Martin, not really, but it is a new job. You're justifying their deception. You're playing games with this. You're doing the same thing these people did. There's no difference whatsoever. And so you've got Christians all over the place who are listening to the Hananiahs as they speak, thus saith the Lord, and it sounds good, but it is a lie. Now remember, Hananiah prophesied or said he was prophesying for a long time. And even after he got the word, you're going to die, a period of time passed before he died. You know, he said, you know, this year you're going to die. Well, he did. Now let me show you another place here. Look in Amos. It's further on in the Old Testament, little book in the Old Testament. In Amos chapter 7. Now, Amos was a shepherd. And you can read the entire book of Amos later on. But you'll see him make a statement here in what we're about to read. In Amos, now Amos was another one that he's prophesying things that weren't popular. Well, Amos chapter 7, verse 10. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. Now stop right there. What is he saying? Well, this is kind of King Jamesy, but he's saying Amos is a traitor. Amos is not of God. He's prophesying bad things, horrible things that the people don't need to hear. His words don't need to be repeated. They're terrible. And this is a priest, all right? Modern day, this is a pastor of a megachurch. For thus, verse 11, for thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also, Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer. Now he's being sarcastic here, all right? O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there, but prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel and it is the king's court. What's he saying? He's saying, you're not of God. Don't you set foot around here anymore. Nothing you say is of God. We are beyond you and what you do. We are established. We know what we're doing. We know what's happening here. We're operating by the word of God. So you just take your little prophecies and you go somewhere else. Well, verse 14. Then answered Amos and said unto Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. In other words, he's saying, hey, listen, before you start accusing me of stuff, let me tell you something about me. I didn't call myself to this. This was not my idea. Verse 15. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. Boy, look at this next part. Now, and he's still speaking to Amaziah. He says, now, therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore is kind of like nevertheless. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted Israel, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of this land. Now, do you think Amaziah received that word? Nope. I'll guarantee you what Amaziah did. He went and told his friends. You know what that nut did? I went to him. I mean, God told me to go to him and correct this thing. I stood up to that man. That false prophet's been spreading all these lies, speaking terrible things about our leadership, our king. And I told him, you get out of here. We're not going to have you. I hated to do it, folks. I hated to excommunicate him. Because you know we love everybody here. And everybody's welcome in our church. But if they're not going to get their act together with God's word that we all live by, amen, amen, Brother Amaziah, well, then we just can't have that here. So I told him he had to leave. Now get this, you're not going to believe it. He looked at me and he said, my wife is going to be a harlot in the city. And you just hear the congregation. Well, I know her. She's an upstanding woman. She would never do that. Well, I know her. Oh, and folks, now settle down. Now settle down. Let me tell you what else he said. My sons and my daughters, he said they were going to die. Oh, God bless you, Amaziah, for standing up to that false prophet. Now, you know how people are. So what do you think happened to Amaziah's wife and kids? They died. She became a harlot. Now, you would think with these kind of patterns in the Bible that people today would want to know how to discern the difference between who's speaking for God and who's not. But you know what? It's no different. You have Amaziahs today leading churches, traveling the land, and speaking, thus saith the Lord, in conferences and crusades all over the place. You know what makes this really bad? Is how many people are in love with all the Amaziahs and all the Hananiahs. You know, Hananiah and Amaziah may have been men of incredible, magnetic personalities. They may have been people that were just, everybody just loved to be around them. But they weren't speaking for God. Today, there are so many people that look to Hananias and Amaziahs, not as Hananias and Amaziahs, but they look to them as though they are Jeremiah's and Amos's. They think that they're speaking for God. And they have these personalities that capture the attention of people. Everybody loves them. And they are good people. And quite frankly, I hope that Amaziah and Hananiah both made it to heaven. I hope that. The thing is, the closer we get to the return of the Lord, how much longer do you think God's going to be putting up with the Hananias and the Amaziahs in the world? How much longer do you think God is just going to sit back and do nothing as more and more of the body of Christ is hearing these voices? I don't mean to beat, a dead horse, as they say. But again, look what happened in Florida. You need to understand. God was peeling back clouds of deception for the body of Christ to see Hananias and Amaziahs in the land. You need to understand this. And there are some of you watching this. You don't turn me off. Don't you go to another website. You need to understand God is moving to help people see who is and is not of Him. Let me tell you something. The voices in the land, the body of Christ land, the kingdom of God, doesn't have to be the United States, just the voices in the land, who continually and repeatedly appear on Christian television to raise money for those things which are not of God, you are watching Hananias and Amaziahs speak to the world.
Brother Martin, that's pretty bold. That's pretty bold.
Well, I don't have a yoke on. Look, we've had a lot of things that the Lord has spoken over the years here. A while back, He gave us a prophecy about certain things, ministries that were going to crumble and collapse in the body of Christ. And it started happening. Within a year, it started happening. And it's not over yet. It's not done. We had a prophecy that that ministers would die, and they died. And if you think that's done, you're wrong. Don't be surprised if Hananias and Amaziah's start dropping over dead. Now, does that mean that every preacher who dies is a Hananiah or Amaziah? No, it doesn't mean that. Because these bodies aren't yet perfected. They're not yet glorified. So, you know, we're either going to go by way of the Lord's return or we're going to go by way of the grave. I mean, we know that, all right? So you don't want to, you know, get crazy with this and think that everybody who dies is a false prophet. But you do understand what I'm saying. I won't be surprised if some of these voices that have misled the body of Christ so long. Now listen, let me clarify something. Amaziah that we just read about and Hananiah we just read about, one of the things I'll guarantee you is that not every word that crossed their lips was wrong. Because if they stood up and they taught the people the law of Moses, then what they taught was right. You understand what I mean? If they told the people to repent from sin, what they said was right. It wasn't wrong. But yet, along with all the right that they said, there was so much wrong that God finally said, you're going to die within a year, and you're going to see your kids die and your wife turn into a harlot. Because you're prophesying lies. And you're causing the people through your authority over the people, authority that they've yielded to, you've exercised this over them. Now they're listening to you. You've become a voice in their lives and you're misleading them. And because of that, what you've spoken has caused rebellion to rise up on the inside because they won't listen to what I say now. They won't listen to my word. Well, I won't be surprised if you hear some of these guys that have been doing this. You know, they're preaching some truth, but then they're throwing in the lies of Amaziah and the lies of Hananiah. Don't be surprised if you don't hear of some of these guys dropping over dead in the pulpit in the middle of a sermon. I'm not prophesying. I'm just saying don't be surprised if these kind of things happen. Because the closer we get to the return of... Remember what He said. Remember what God said in His Word. That when Jesus comes back, He's coming back for what? A dirty bride? No, pure, spotless, without blemish. And a lot of people think that means just, you know, well, no sin. You know, don't be committing adultery and all that. But it's also remember the Bible talks about in another place about cleansing yourself, filthiness of the spirit, removing the spots and blemishes of the spirit. Well, what could be the spot and blemish in your spirit? The lies of Hananiah and Amaziah. The rebellion that their lives have sown into the hearts of people. You say, okay. I see what you're saying, Brother Martin. But what, you know, how do you know? Well, for one thing, here's how you know. What has God already said in His Word? What are the standards that He's already established here? It's so easy to listen to somebody stand up and take a verse here and a verse there and create a doctrine, and that doctrine is something you want to hear. Just like all the people wanted to hear, the yoke was going to be destroyed. They preach and teach things you want to hear. I want to hear how I'm going to get blessed. I want to hear how I can get a 100-fold return. I want to hear how I can get more. I want to hear this. I want to hear how that all I have to do is stand in a prayer line and a preacher can lay his hands on me and impart wonderful ministry callings and anointing and glory into my life. I want to hear that. That's what I want. Well, if you want it, you'll hear it. The Bible talks about that. That there'll be these people preaching and teaching these things. But the closer we get to the return of the Lord, He even said, judgment begins in my house. And this judgment, remember I shared earlier about delayed judgment. How that, you know, it could be a period of time before anything really happens. And it's because God's giving people an opportunity to repent. And we've had prophecies over the years how that more and more voices were going to start rising up that speak truth. And that as they're speaking the truth, it will refute so much of this stuff that's out there. And we've had prophecies of conflict in the body of Christ. In fact, we had four or five years ago, whatever it was, a prophecy about conflict in the body of Christ and how that there would, you know, they'd be naming each other and this. And it happened. It began to happen. the Hananias and the Amaziahs began to stand up, just like in Scripture, and accusing these people over here of doing this and being wrong and speaking lies and so forth. Well, it's just like Jeremiah said. I hope you're right. I hope good things happen. But time's going to tell who heard from God and what they spoke, whether or not it really was from God. That's exactly what's going to happen. Guys, you've got to understand, there are major ministries, major players in the world of in the business of ministry that are Hananias and Amaziahs. And people are sending money to them right and left. Remember, who was it? Was it Elisha that hid the prophets in the cave? Am I right on? Do I have the wrong person here? Obadiah? Well, it was somebody back there in the Old Testament, one of those fellows. Where they said, I'm alone. There's nobody else. What was that? Ezekiel said, I'm alone, nobody else. And God said, Elijah. Yeah, here. I think I'm getting my stories mixed up. You guys can sort it out later. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm alone. Yeah, this is a different one. And God says, no, I've got what, 5,000? Whatever it was, that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. I'll let you guys preach this. You're doing better. Sometimes, when my mind is going in one direction and it starts shifting, it's like, wait a second, where were we? But it's the same thing today. There are a lot of people out there who haven't bowed their knee to the spirit of Amaziah or the spirit of Hananiah. And there are a lot of people out there that are hidden away in the caves, if you will, with the Holy Spirit. And God is bringing them out, one by one, five by five, whatever. And He's raising them up His way. And they're speaking. And they're speaking the truth. And just like Jeremiah and Amos were both heavily criticized for what they said and what they did, they didn't back down. And neither are these people that God's raising up. They're not going to back down. And you talk about a culture war. It's going to increase in the body of Christ. I mean, it did here and did in the Old and New Testament both. It did. So how do we know? How do we know the difference? How can we be sure? Well, like I said, for one thing, get in the Word of God and find out what God has said. Take what these fellows preach. Compare it to the contextual use of Scripture. And see if it stands the witness of God's Word. But also the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, let me ask you something. When Jesus was ministering, remember when they would have these encounters with like the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests and so forth? And they would be saying one thing and then Jesus, have you not read? Have you not heard? Does not God's Word say? He would correct them. And He would correct them in front of His disciples and so, and sometimes in front of groups of people. And a couple of times it talks about how the people, it's like the people on the inside were saying, yeah, go get him, Jesus. Yeah, all right. Well, it's the same thing today, but instead of Jesus being here physically doing this, it's the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, look, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm leaving, yeah, but there's somebody coming after me, the Holy Spirit. And He's going to pick up right where I left off. Just like I confronted the heresy and the error and the hypocrisy while you guys were watching. The Holy Spirit is going to do the same thing. But the difference is this. I had to do it on a soulish level because you guys weren't born again. That's why I'm doing it, out loud in front of everybody. But what's going to happen is this. The Holy Spirit, He's been with you, but He shall be in you. And it's there in you that He is going to speak out if you know how to hear Him. He'll speak to you and He'll let you know if you're hearing the voice of a Hananiah or an Amaziah. He'll let you know because one of the things He'll do, lead you into all truth, and not only that, but teach you all things. He'll let you know. So we've got the Word of God and we've got the Holy Spirit to help us differentiate between the Jeremiahs and the Hananiahs, the Amoses and the Amaziahs. The Holy Spirit will do this. Well, again, you know, this goes back to, you know, praying in the Spirit and so forth. Because, look, if all you're doing is sitting back and depending upon a sense of reason to warn you if what you're hearing is right or wrong, it's not going to happen. Well, but God will protect us against false doctrine. Yeah, through His Word and by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Just like back in the Old Testament, He sent the prophets and they spoke. Well, spiritually speaking, the Holy Spirit is our Jeremiah and our Amos. In other words, He'll be the voice of God to us, to speak to us, to help us understand when we're hearing something that's right, when we're hearing something that's wrong. You know, I've heard people talk in the past about, you know, listening to all different kinds of preachers, whatever. And, well, you know, you just swallow the hay and spit out the chaff or something like that. Well, how do you know the difference between hay and chaff? How do you know? Unless you've got somebody there to help you understand the difference. You talk to people about going to church. Well, just go to a good Bible-preaching, Bible-believing church. Well, what does that mean? Walk into a church and ask them, are you a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church? And they're going to say, absolutely, hallelujah. Well, okay, praise God, found the right one. How are you going to know? So if you just sit back and wait on reason, it's not going to work. And if you sit back and wait for God to do something other than what He's already done for us, give us His Word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, He's not. Let me say it like this. Our only hope is God's Word and the Holy Spirit. But when you think about it, what other hope would you want besides God's Word and the Holy Spirit? God is warning us, and He's going to continue to warn us. When I say us, I mean the body of Christ. Using things out of the Old Testament to prepare us for what is coming, and ultimately to prepare us to be that pure, spotless bride for the return of Jesus. Because I'm telling you, He is coming back. Praise God. He is coming back. And you know what? When we get to heaven, all of the Amaziahs and all of the Hananiahs that were here on earth, and they still make it to heaven because they never denied Jesus, but they still make it to heaven. You know, when we get to heaven, you know what's going to happen? We're going to be one big happy family. There won't be any finger pointing. If anything, I mean, I don't know how it's going to work out in heaven. I really don't. But if anything, they may be running to everybody begging for forgiveness. Please forgive me. I wasn't speaking for God. I don't know if they'll do that, but if they do, you know what's going to happen? We're just going to wrap our arms around them. Say, hey, listen, you know, it happened. I mean, you know, God forgive you. We forgive you. Yeah, let's just go worship for a while. What do you say? Man, I'm looking forward to that. Being in His presence forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. And in between now and then, I want to be sure that the only voices I'm listening to are the Jeremiahs in the land and the Amoses in the land. Amen. Would you please stand?